Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
How about it? April Fools, welcome into the month of April, Monday, April 1st, 2024, and welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show, a very short Gabe Kuhn Show today. We'll only be in for about an hour and a half. We'll send you off to the Grizzlies versus the Pistons because we have an Eastern time zone game, 6 o'clock. Tip will be at 6 o'clock. We'll pass you off to Gary Darby for pregame at 5:30. But I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, how is it? How's it hanging? How was your weekend?
It was an amazing weekend. Amazing weekend. Fantastic.
Now I have to bring this to the air. You have a knee brace on.
I do have a knee brace on.
We struggled at when we played pickup. What was it, last week?
I was fine until the last game, and then somebody. Yeah. I got a kneecap to the side of the knee, and
That'll do.
I either have a bone bruise or a sprained MCL. We haven't figured it out yet.
Are you going to take yourself to a doctor to get a checkup?
If it is bothering me for a few more days, I'm going to say yes, because we're just now at the 2 week mark. So usually it takes a couple weeks for it to feel better. But I mean, we didn't bring it up because I had to miss the day after that game. My team's kind of whooped your teams.
Well, hey, hold up, I won like the first three games. I was on my game.
My teams went 5-2.
But as is normal with me at my weight, my advanced old man weight at this point, I tend to slow down once I get to game 4, 5, 6.
Sounds like excuses.
Well, sure. It's very real though. My conditioning and my breath is not. It's not quite the same as it used to be.
It's not DJ Burns.
Yeah, it's not DJ Burns Jr. esque. I think I might refer to him as, I heard Pat McAfee talking about it, DJ BJ, because he's DJ Burns Jr. DJ BJ. Pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good, but I may refer to him. I like Baby Zeebo
a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I hear you, but he's captured the hearts of America. But again, we have 1.5 hours. An hour and a half is probably the better way to put that, of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to talk NCAA tournament, go through who made the Final Four? What does it look like at this point? We have an 11 seed. The NC State story continues to be absolutely insane. Also, over the weekend, Before we have LSU versus Iowa tonight and USC versus UConn, women's Elite Eight tonight is going to be elite. It is going to be phenomenal. But Kim Mulkey in the Washington Post article that she sort of let us know about, calling it a hit piece, saying she hired all the defamation lawyers in the world. It came out over the weekend. And Connor, can I just say, not bad. I mean, just exactly what you would have expected. Nothing falsified about it. I think a lot of writers, especially when they do columns and do features, maybe they try to lead you down to believe a certain way. But there was nothing wrong with the article that was put out over the weekend about Kim Mulkey and just her in general. It was The Kim Mulkey Way is by Kent Babb. The LSU coach holds grudges, battles everyone, and keeps winning, but at what cost? It's actually kind of funny to see her entire, you know, what was it, a three-minute rant about this Washington Post article about to come out from Kent Babb. That was included in the story. So she really added to the story and added to the narrative that was actually trying to be pushed out. So found that very interesting in itself. But we'll talk about that and the Women's Elite Eight because it is absolutely phenomenal. Although there was an Elite Eight game where they had different three-point lines. Did you see that? NC
I did.
State.
How does
Shout
that
out
happen,
to NC
man.
State
That's crazy.
For getting through in Portland. They're in their first Final Four on the women's side since, I think it's 26 years. 26 years that they've been trying to get back. They're finally back. And we know NC State, men's basketball, first time in 41 years. But how do you screw that up? I mean, I cannot understand that for the life of me.
It's one of the most important things for a court.
Especially in this day and age of basketball where we just throw up threes constantly, shoot from the outside, and they have mismatched three-point lines. I was kind of impressed with, you know, Texas and NC State saying they're going to play on the court anyway. I guess you have to be subjected to it regardless which way you're going in the first half and the second half. But they should have found a way to fix that on the run. That's embarrassing.
Spray paint.
And Texas's head coach, I don't know if you heard him, he said, oh, this only happens in women's basketball. I think he's got a point.
Never heard of it in
men's. I haven't heard of it on the men's side ever. I can tell you that right now. Now, we do have one guest today, and it's the guy who usually starts hour number two, and then we're going to pass you off from him to the Grizzlies versus the Pistons. Grizzlies on the road against the Pistons. We'll pass you off to pregame right after him. But Jeff Calkins will be on at 5 o'clock. Daily Memphian, Jeff Calkins show. You heard him earlier this morning. So there is that. Now, into the NCAA tournament. You have to start with NC State. Their story is insane, and it keeps getting more insane. The fact that they were in the Elite Eight was crazy as is. They had won eight straight games. Now they've won nine straight games in 19 days. And I don't know how to put them any other way besides they are America's team at this point. If you are rooting for a team to get through, they have captured the minds, the souls, the hearts of America at this point. They became, after beating Duke yesterday, they became the first team with 14-plus losses in the history of the NCAA tournament to make the Final Four. 14-plus losses. They ended their regular season on a 4-10 stretch, and they have won nine straight games in 19 days. And everybody's bringing it up, but I think I'll bring it up as well. If you'll remember back to the ACC tournament, this team was back up against the wall, 3 points down. If Virginia knocks down a free throw, they ice the game. Instead, they miss the free throw, and Michael O'Connell, number 12, the point guard, comes down, banks in a three off that missed free throw to tie the game at 58-58. And then they ended up beating Virginia 73-65 in overtime. If that never happens, just complete luck, madness, if you will, as we get into March, we understand that. They're never making this run. They never make the NCAA tournament, and we're never talking about DJ Burns Jr. with his NIL money and who he has been as a player. 29 points against Duke, and he had Kyle Filipowski and Mark Mitchell foul out of that game.
He had them in hell.
It was the torture chamber the entire game.
It honestly reminded me of Zebo torturing the Clippers back in the day.
And like, it's funny, like he's this big larger than life guy. You'd think as he keeps playing more games, Like he would lose a little bit of his conditioning, be a little bit more tired. He has strengthened as this tournament has gone along. And he had 29 points, 4 boards, 3 assists. He's a great passer, by the way. He is so fun to watch. And he had 2 blocks. He became the second ACC player since blocks became an official stat to record 25 points, multiple blocks, and 0 turnovers in an NCAA tournament game. You know who the other guy was? Tim Duncan. That is good company to keep.
Tim Duncan, pretty good.
Tim Duncan did that in 1995, but it has got us to the point with NC State and their postseason basketball on the women's side and the men's side. Final Four on both sides. First Final Four in 41 years for the men. First Final Four in 26 years for the women. This has been fun as hell to watch. And know what is the best part of this whole thing? As I log in, and sometimes you try to not get like fooled by April Fool's Day posts.
Right.
But Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl was reporting today that he's heard a lot of people and a lot of front offices in the NFL discuss DJ Burns as a potential left tackle in the National Football League. And he said he is not into, you know, April Fool's jokes and everything else, but it's being reported by multiple people that there are actually real GMs in the NFL that are showing interest in DJ Burns, potentially teaching him how to play tackle and getting him into an NFL, camp, roster situation, whatever it is.
They must listen to the show.
I guess so. I've been talking about this since, the ACC tournament? And they list him again at 6'9", 275. He is no less than 335, 340 pounds. But I see it. I mean, when you have a guy with good feet like that, clearly way more athletic than his frame should tell you he should be. Clearly strong as hell, too. He can move big dudes around. You saw it with Kyle Filipowski and Mark Mitchell, and you've seen it previously. I mean, I don't see why not. I don't see why they wouldn't give him a look. We've seen the transfer over from different sports, certainly basketball, into the NFL. Now, we've seen like a lot of tight ends. Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez were those guys. But there's a guy by the name of George Fant who's in the league as a reserve tackle. Now, He was a 6'6 power forward at Western Kentucky. I mean, if you go to other sports, Jordan Mailata, who is all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber left tackle now for the Philadelphia Eagles, he was a rugby player. But they saw the athleticism he had at 6'8", 295 pounds. They said, come on over, we'll teach you how to play. And now he's an all-pro left tackle. So this does not surprise me in the slightest, but I that was my first thought. I was like, were they listening to the show way back in the ACC tournament before DJ Burns Jr. became this larger-than-life character in the face of March Madness?
Yeah, I think he's probably going to stick with basketball.
He will be able to make money overseas playing basketball.
I mean, somebody might throw him a undrafted, hey, come to camp.
I don't know. With the NBA, though, I mean, here's the problem you run into with DJ Burns. And obviously, I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know. But when it comes to defense and it comes to getting up and down the floor in the pace and space era of the NBA, I just don't see it working. Because there's sometimes when they, throw it out and get some runouts, turn defense into offense, he'll just be walking back up the floor. You guys got it. Take it all the way. He'll tell, Michael O'Connell or whoever's taking it the other way, take it all the way. I'll meet you back on this end.
He could be the new junior of the NBA. we already got one junior. Bring in a second one.
I guess.
This one's Baby Z-Bo.
He's fun, man.
He's super fun.
I mean, I heard Giannotto and Jeffrey do their
Jeffrey probably has a shrine up to DJ Burns he took down
Duke. What was disappointing is they went into their Mount Rushmore of fat athletes.
Uh-huh.
And they also have a Hall of Fame, which is separate.
Of course.
It's kind of easy to make the Hall of Fame is what it sounds like. I mean, Big Baby Davis was in the Fat Man Hall of
Fame. He should be.
Okay, whatever.
How dare you.
But they redid their Mount Rushmore, and he wasn't on it.
Who's on it?
There's Babe Ruth was one of the main names
Has
on
to.
There.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
But DJ Burns, he said you have to have more than one NCAA tournament run
fair.
To make it onto the Mount Rushmore. I guess
fair.
That's fair. But this is different.
I think my favorite part about watching NC State against Duke was every single time he would put his shoulder into Filipowski's chest or Mitchell's chest, they would immediately start complaining to the referees instead of playing defense. They'd be like, hey, You can't do this. And the referee was like,
yeah,
what
can.
Do you want me to do? He's a giant man. Defend his hook shot, you baby.
Yes. I mean, there's nothing you can do about
it. The softness of Duke came out with DJ Burks.
His best attribute, too, is when he gets that sort of, whether it's a short corner touch or a low post touch, his quick spin move is unreal for a guy his size. But anyway, the NFL thing, we'll see what happens there. But Jim Nagy now from the Senior Bowl saying they're actually reporting interest in him. This is something I've been seeing for a long while.
I am shocked that's not an April Fool's joke. Because when I saw that, I almost sent it to you. And I was afraid of being ridiculed by you because it was April Fool's Day. And I was like, there's no way.
If it was an April Fool's joke, I would have been very mad if you had sent it to me.
Exactly.
But it was not. It was not. It was a real report. Real reports out there. Peter Schrager put it out there as well. From NFL Network, NFL teams are really looking into DJ Burns. They're interested in
it. It's pretty awesome. It's NC State making a run like this, too. Survive in advance, Galvano, like all of that. It's really cool.
It's been a long, long time. And, I mean, Kevin Keats, he was on the hot seat. He was going to get fired. If they would have lost that game to Virginia in the ACC tournament, he was gone.
They lost seven straight regular season games to end the season.
He was going to be gone.
Finished their season.
He was going to be gone.
They went from a seven-game losing streak to have not lost since the tournament.
Doesn't it just show you, like, this tournament, and I know we overdo this conversation at times, but it really just does highlight, you never know where the hell the storylines are going to come from by the end. You obviously root on these upsets along the way, and maybe, you know, NC State got a little bit of luck of the draw having Oakland in the second round, but no one could have predicted this at all. At all. I think there was one person that did an ESPN bracket that was a media member that's you know, the former coach. Jim Boeheim was the only person. He had NC State in the Final Four.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's one of the only ones I have seen out there on the World Wide Web, though. So there is that. Now let's move on. Tennessee, I do want to give credit to Tennessee. Getting through Creighton, they needed to do that. But you ran into a buzzsaw when it comes to Purdue. They're really good this year. But I will say, watching Zach Edey, I see why people get frustrated by the style of ball he plays and why they say, oh, well, he's just tall and he gets away with a whole lot. He had 40 points, 16 boards, one assist, a steal, a block. That last block, though, was phenomenal.
Last block was crazy.
To ice the game completely. Yeah. 13 for 21 from the field, and this is really where it comes in, that over the weekend, watching him play, I was a little taken aback by the whistle he got. 14 for 22 from the free throw line. His whistle's insane. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of people that go after you when you go after officials, and some people will say he's just so big, of course he gets hacked at, of course he gets fouled. But he leads the country in free throws and his attempts by 125 attempts. That is not an accident. That's ridiculous. 424 free throw attempts so far this year. Second is P.J. Haggerty from Tulsa, who I hope the Tigers get, by the way, sidebar, with 309. He leads in attempts at the free throw line by 125 attempts. That is ridiculous. Or 115 attempts, bad math. 115 attempts. That's ridiculous.
No math.
And I am one who has been, since this tournament started, watching Donovan Clingan, who was nothing short of phenomenal against Illinois on Saturday. He had what, 22 and 10, and he had 5 blocks in that game. And I'll get to the UConn in a second because they absolutely dogged a really good Illinois team. But I've been begging for Edey versus Clingan in the most massive way. But I want it to be officiated correctly.
Right.
I don't want to see Edey get to the damn free throw line and cling and foul out in, you know, whatever, 22 minutes. I don't want to see that. That's not fun to me. And Zach Edey, he gets away with a fair amount when he's trying to go get offensive boards and everything else. It felt like that whistle was just way too accentuated in that Tennessee game. Way too much.
He gets away with a lot, but that's not necessarily, like, I didn't notice he was fouling a ton of people. Like, I didn't think that he got a great whistle. It was the fact that anytime somebody was trying to defend him, a whistle would be called.
Yeah.
And that's what was driving me crazy.
I don't know how you defend him without being physical in some way, shape, or form.
There were multiple instances where they would call a foul because a guy was just trying to get as low as they possibly could on him to stop him from barreling through them. And at some point, what are they supposed to do? Tennessee is allowed to play defense.
Yeah.
And it felt like throughout the game, Purdue was able to be far more physical on the offensive end and the defensive end than Tennessee was. And, you know, it is unfortunate. I don't necessarily think the free throws are why Tennessee lost. They had a lot of opportunity to still win that game. But you cannot watch that basketball game and say that Zach Edey did not have a favorable whistle. It's one of the most favorable whistles I think I have ever seen. His performance was still really impressive. At the same time, you have to wonder what type of player he would be in college basketball without that type of whistle.
The difference in that game, I think, was, one, the whistle. I think that is fair to say. And then, two, Tennessee got their absolute ass kicked on the boards.
Well, and no one showed up.
47-26.
No one showed up except for Kinect. Yeah. Literally nobody else could hit a shot.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because Purdue kind of left the door wide open. If Zach Edey did not go off for 40-16 the way he did, they're extra pieces. Fletcher Lawyer, Lance Jones, Braden Smith. None of those guys showed up for Purdue. They were, what, 3-15 from three? And they've been second in the country all year with about 40% from three. The door was wide open there for Tennessee, but they couldn't handle Edey and they couldn't do anything on the boards.
They took the lead back at one point in the second half, and they just could not hit the open shot. Ziegler missed a ton of open threes. Gainey kind of came off the bench and gave them a bit of a pickup. He hit two pretty big threes. But other than Dalton Kinect in that second half and Gainey, almost every single shot a Tennessee player took, I think that they missed. It was crazy to watch. And they were missing like bunnies, like little free throw line jumpers. They had so many opportunities to take the lead. But you also can't watch that game and say, you know, the whistle would blow every single time Tennessee kind of gained momentum, too.
Yeah.
It was a really frustrating game to watch because...
Yeah. If you're a Tennessee fan, it was definitely very frustrating.
Yeah.
Every time you felt like you were grabbing a little bit of momentum, here comes a foul call on Zach Edey. And, I mean, watching Rick Barnes try to do something about it, he couldn't. There was nothing. Jonas Adu had no chance in there, so he throws in Toby Awaka to try to just foul him.
Yeah,
he fouls out. He fouled out, I mean, very early into the second half.
That's what Awaka was doing. He was just trying to get as low as he possibly could on Edey, and there were so many times where they would call a...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Whistle when Edey was trying to back him down. It's like, come on, man. The guy's got to be able to play defense. This guy is, what, 7'6 or something like that?
7'4.
You've got to allow guys to push back against him. You have to.
I'll say this, though. Zach Edey, up until now, I know he's a player of the year, likely going to be a two-time player of the year, got Purdue back to the Final Four, and they've been wanting that for a long, long time. But he has not shown a lot of personality, right? But I thought during that game, and now that he's got the platform, he's been showing a lot of personality. And he talked about getting past – he was the 76th-ranked center in his recruiting class. And he got recruited by Rick Barnes, but never ultimately got the offer. And then here came in Matt Painter, swooping him out. He was from Canada, ended up at IMG Academy in Florida. But he kind of went after Rick Barnes, talked a little cash after the game. Here was Zach Edey after the game.
I get to pay him back. Like there was so many coaches that looked over me. Like you could name a program, I could name a coach that looked over me. The Tennessee, Rick Barnes is a great coach, but he was in a bunch of our practice, looked over me. Like it's kind of been the story of my life. People have doubted me. People look past me and can't do that anymore.
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't. When you get 22 free throws and you drop 40 in an Elite Eight game against Tennessee when they really want to get to the Final Four, their first Final Four in program history. Yeah, that is brutal to watch. He's finally shown a little personality. Even in the post game remarks, he was dropping F bombs, doing all that. I mean, he's coming out of his shell.
You and I haven't really talked about it yet. What do you think of his NBA prospects?
I think the exact same as I've thought the entire time. Now, you'll see Jonathan Givony, and you'll see a lot of these guys start to move him up. I mean, people are talking about him as some late lottery or mid-first-round guy. I personally don't see it. I think there's a lot of things that work against him in this, and most notably is the fact that he can't move laterally, and he's not a big floor runner. And I guess as a reserve big, you can do that. But I can't really think of a guy like him in the NBA that gets legit minutes. I've heard someone make the Boban Marjanovic type of comp. I think he's maybe a little more talented when it comes to finishing at the rim than Boban is. But I don't really see a massive role for him in the NBA. I think he can kick around the G League, get some two-way contracts here and there. But seeing people list him in their first round – based on what he's doing right now in the NCAA tournament, I think that it's overblown.
I think I agree. Watching the game against Tennessee, I was like, his post moves are better than people give him credit for, but he is not very quick.
But he's not worried about getting his shot blocked. So it's just like, especially at this level, he's not worried about it at all. Well, he can get his shot off that baby hook wherever, whenever he wants, however he wants.
Sure, yeah. But what I'm saying is that he is better around the rim than I think I was fully expecting. He did move better, but it's still slow. And the weirdest thing is he's not as dominant on defense as you thought he would be. A lot of people don't go to the rim because he's standing there, but when they do challenge him, he doesn't get as many blocks as you would expect him to.
Once upon a time,
I think he could be good, but no, he's not. He's no Yao. He's definitely not Yao.
But at the same time, it's also a different NBA, too. It's a different NBA than it was.
Yao would be good today.
I think he'd be fine. There would be some limitations to his game that weren't there back then.
His post moves were so smooth.
Yeah,
Yao was so smooth.
But getting up and down the floor was all like in this day and age of the space era, running up and down the floor, trying to turn defense into offense. It's just different. It would be a lot harder for Yao to exist in the same type of way he did back then.
I think Edey could be a solid backup. I'm not sure he could ever be.
My other part of this is, I mean, with the defensive 3 second, and
that was crazy. We got to talk about
that. When they in the NBA, you know, ask bigs to play, they're asking you to stay out of the paint on the defensive side. Zach Edey is in the paint constantly.
Does not move. I mean, I counted 10 seconds multiple times.
On the defensive end, I think they say he stays in the paint for an average of 5 seconds every single possession. So he does not move out of the paint most of the time. And Ian, when he gets to go cover a pick and roll, he's not really covering it. He's not doing anything about it. On the offensive end, he's in the paint a whole lot, too. There could have been some offensive calls on him as well, but they did not. I think in the NBA, that's another thing that you have to look at for him. He's not going to be able to park himself in the paint the way he does in
a
college game.
I saw Tony Jones and our good friend Parker Fleming were talking about it on Twitter, talking about how, you know, Zach Edey is, I think he's a talented basketball player. His size does a ton, but he's still a very talented basketball player. At the end of the day, though, he gets a generational whistle, and he will not have that in the NBA. He's not going to the free throw line 22 times. He's not going to be able to stand in the paint for 10 seconds on offense. He's not going to be able to stand in the paint for 5-plus seconds on defense. Like, it's just, they're going to call those things. You're not going to get the player of the year calls in the NBA that you're getting right now in college basketball. And I do think it will have a big impact on his productivity in the NBA because let's be honest, a lot of what Zach Edey does is effective because he gets a favorable whistle, especially with the being able to just sit in the paint and
yes,
not being able
on
to
both
move.
Ends.
I don't know how Rick Barnes wasn't just losing his mind every time. I would be like screaming, counting from the sideline,
yeah.
Like one, two. Like I would make the referees hear it because at some point it became so egregious. It was like I was watching it with my family during Easter, and we were counting
the entire first half. I was waiting for them to make a call.
Yeah.
And then by the second half, I gave up on it. After the first 4 minutes of the second half, I'm like, they're not going to call it all night. They're going to let him park himself in the paint and do what he wants to do. And then you saw the free throws and the whistles he was getting. It felt rigged for Zach Edey to go get 40 and 16 the other night. Now, rewinding it to Saturday, I guess we'll start with Illinois versus UConn. Illinois has been a good team all year. They were 29-9. They got absolutely dogged. Absolutely dogged by UConn. And it goes back to what I was saying on Friday. No matter what you try to do with this team, no matter what style of basketball you want to play, they will play it better than you. If you want to be a high up-tempo, great offense, efficient offense, like Illinois has been, that was number one offense versus number two offense all year. They held them to 52 points. If you want to drag it down and play defense the whole game, they'll beat you doing that. If you want to play a half-court game, they'll beat you doing that. They can space the floor. They have a great screen setter in Donovan Clingan. If you want to get up and down the floor, they have guys that can do that outside of Donovan Clingan, who is probably not as great of a floor runner as you'd expect, but he can still run the floor really well for somebody his size at 7'2", about 300 pounds. They dogged Illinois. They don't play close games. And the thing is, too, we watched Memphis do this a few times this year, and we watch a lot of teams do this around the country. You'll get these massive leads, and then they'll sort of let their foot off the gas, and teams will climb back in. If UConn gets that 10-plus point lead on you, they don't let their foot off the gas in the slightest. They try to add more. They try to get up by 10 more. And then if they're up by 20, they try to get up by 10 more and go up by 30. They're the best team in college basketball. And I'm serious. I guess you could think highly of Purdue, but we'll see how it looks going into the Final Four. But I think you're fooling yourself if you don't think UConn's going to win this tournament. I think you're fooling yourself completely. They're better than everybody else, and they've shown that the past 2 years. They haven't played an NCAA tournament game in the past 2 years closer than 12 points. It's nuts. It's nuts. They're an absolute machine. And I know how hard it is to go back-to-back, but it looks like they're going to do it.
They had a 30-0 run.
And Illinois is, again, the second-best offense in the country this year. First, according to KenPom. And they couldn't do anything from the latter stages of the first half into the first part of the second half. They couldn't do a damn thing, 30-0 run, like you said. This UConn team's different. Terrence Shannon, we said if Illinois was going to stay in that game, he's going to have a good game. I think UConn knew that as well because they didn't let him do anything. Everything was hard for him. 8 points, 2 for 12 from the field. Donovan Clingan had a bounce-back game, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 5 blocks. And, UConn won against a number 3 seed by 25 points, and they shot 3 for 17 from 3. If that doesn't tell you who they are as a team, if they don't see something going their way, they're going to do it a different way. They can make adjustments. They can make adaptations along the way. That has to go with Danny Hurley, and that goes for that entire roster. They just are better than everyone else right now. Now, crazier things have happened. They could get knocked out. They could lose. We'll see. But it doesn't feel that way right now.
Yeah, right now it feels like they are a train, and anybody that's going to stand in front of them will be obliterated. I'm not sure I see a team that's left beating them. Purdue, I understand that they beat a very good Tennessee team, but I just wasn't that all impressed by them yesterday. Like, I really thought that they looked vulnerable in moments.
Yeah.
And like I said, even with the massive free throw disparity, Tennessee still had a shot to take him down. They had multiple shots to take him down. And that's why, if Purdue plays a game like that against UConn, UConn's going to win by 20.
I think Purdue is the only team that I can count in, but you can't go 3 for 15 from 3.
No.
You're going to have to shoot 40-plus percent from 3. Everybody else outside of Zach Edey is going to have to show up in a massive way.
Right.
That's the only team I can see even coming close at this moment. Alabama, as much as I love what Mark Sears has done, shout out to Nate Oates, out into a Final Four. They have to knock down threes at the highest of clips. I mean, the reason they beat Clemson is they made 16 threes. Make shots, and they win games. But even if they make shots against that UConn team, I think UConn can match them every step of the way. They just understand how to win games in whatever way. I brought up Bill Belichick and the Patriots dynasty. Sometimes you'd get games on offense where they'd come out and they'd run the ball 15 times in a row. Sometimes they'd air it out, go damn near air raid, put Tom Brady in the shotgun and throw it 15 times in a row to start a game. I feel very similarly about this UConn team. However they feel they need to go win the game, however the game dictates itself, they can adjust and make things happen.
Yeah, it's like you and Jeff talked about on Friday. It's just, I think the smart bet right now is UConn. You take UConn versus the rest of the field that's still left. And, you know, if UConn gets upset, they get upset. But right now, it just feels unlikely that anybody's going to be able to match their intensity and the different styles of basketball they can beat you with. And like you said, that Illinois game was fascinating because it was like they switched a couple of different times how they were playing, and Illinois just had no idea what to do. And at the same time, it was suffocating defense. That 30-0 run was crazy because as you were watching it, you were like, Illinois got to score here soon. Nope. Just never even got close. Never got close.
It's just brutal having to run into them right now. They're ridiculous.
Dan Hurley is telling them that they played poorly. Because when you look at their stats, they weren't great. Like, they had 9 turnovers. Well, they didn't shoot the ball relatively well.
Didn't we talk about this? The last game they lost was Creighton on the road in Omaha. Creighton shot, 55% from three at home?
And 50% from three, and I think, 56% from the field.
You have to be able to ride momentum and shoot a ridiculous clip from three to even come close to beating UConn. If you can't do that, you have no chance. You just have no chance. But that's who I'm picking to win. Right now, I think they are officially in the minus territory when it comes to winning
the
national championship.
That makes sense.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I'll give you an updated line on that in a second. But also, we need to talk some women's basketball. And obviously, we have some good Elite Eight matchups tonight, LSU versus Iowa, USC versus UConn. But really, what we have to talk about is Kim Mulkey in this Washington Post article that was posted over the weekend by Kent Babb. Was it really that bad? Did she need to tell us out ahead that this was going to be published? I'll answer that question on the other side, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Just got done recapping some Elite Eight matchups that we saw over the weekend and getting you ready for the Final Four, which is UConn, Purdue, Alabama, and NC State. But I did tell you, we've gotten into the minus territory when it comes to UConn to win the national championship. There's a couple of specials out there right now. One, though, to win the national championship this year, UConn is officially minus 185. Second shortest odds would be Purdue at plus 190, and then Alabama and NC State plus 1,300 and plus 2,000, respectively. And the Connecticut versus the field FanDuel has out right now as a special, and it's not that far off actually winning the national championship, as you'd expect. Minus 184, the field is plus 146 at this particular moment. And you can go bet on this right now because you could say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tourney. Whether you're betting on a big upset or one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. That's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines. You can even pick who's going to win it all. Visit FanDuel.com/GabeK, G-A-B-E-K. Again, that's G-A-B-E-K, and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. You must be 21-plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets that expire just 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. But minus 185, that'll do. And then UConn versus the field, minus 184, field plus 146. We'll talk the men's tournament here in just a moment as we get to about 5 o'clock with Jeff Calkins. We'll venture back in there. But we're also, during that, probably going to talk a little bit about Kim Mulkey and what's going on with the women's tournament raging along. There was the Washington Post article that she got us ready for. It was posted on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, so 9:30 a.m. our time. And it was by Kent Babb of the Washington Post, and it was titled The Kim Mulkey Way. And the premise of it, the LSU coach holds grudges, battles everyone, and keeps winning, but at what cost? He ended up using a lot of what she said before the tournament, before the women's tournament, in the article itself. He did confirm that he has been trying to reach out for comment for her for 2 years, and she has yet to respond. And he did have a list of questions before they ended up posting the article. But he did use a lot of what she said against her in the article. And why wouldn't you? Because if the premise is she holds grudges and battles everyone, that is the definition of holding grudges and battling everyone. She said she hired the best defamation attorney in America. Again, it's going to be really hard to find defamation or libel within this article. One, the Washington Post is going to do everything they can to make sure it is ironclad and it is, litigation proof. But also, if you just go read the article, I don't think there's anything overly egregious that we didn't really know. Did I learn a lot about sort of the main story within it? Kelly Griffin, who played for her at Baylor, who is openly gay. I learned a little bit about her story, but we've heard Brittany Griner talk about this before, how being gay, being a lesbian, when you're at Baylor playing for Kim Mulkey or at a school that Kim Mulkey's coaching at, it's not the easiest thing in the world. But Kelly Griffin was sort of the center of the story, and she was a player from 07 to 2010. And she played there for 3 years. Her final year, she averaged 7.8 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 5.1 assists per game. And she was openly lesbian when she was in high school, and she figured that was something that Kim Mulkey knew. But as she got there, she realized that Kim Mulkey may not be as accepting as she should have. There was a lot of instances that she recalls where Mulkey promised her mother that Baylor was a family and she would protect Kelly. But then on the back end, there was a lot of different things brought up by Mulkey while she was there. Started asking Kelly Griffin why she dressed like a boy when she would wear jeans and basketball shorts and sweats. And then she'd also say, you know, a lady wears a dress. So there was a lot of things in there. But this article in itself didn't really tell me that much more that I needed, that I didn't know about one of the most polarizing figures in women's basketball right now. This is really, quite frankly, a lot of what I sort of understood to be going on behind the scenes in Kim Mulkey programs, especially at Baylor. Brittany Griner said it before. Kelly Griffin's just another example of this. And for her to, you know, go up and in advance of this article and say she's going to hire a defamation attorney, one, I don't think that's going to work. And two, I think it brought more eyes to the story than originally would have been on the story. And I thought it really worked against what she wanted to happen in the end of the day.
Sure, because, you know, all in all, I thought it was a pretty mild hit piece, you know, if you even want to call it a hit piece.
I thought it was more of, it was really,
to me, it just,
I mean, to me, it was more of a, it was not an expose.
No,
it was a, it was a profile on how Kim Mulkey runs her programs.
It's very clear that Kim Mulkey may have some very outdated thoughts, especially when it comes to the LGBTQ community. Other than that, there was just nothing in there that I was like, oh, this is inflammatory. Like, it sounds like that she runs her program like the military, but yeah. How many men's basketball coaches across the country get high praise for doing that? So,
and
you know,
within the story, you had multiple examples of Kelly Griffin, even, for example, saying she is a hell of a basketball coach. No one's going to take away the fact that she's a national championship-winning coach, that she recruits at the highest of levels, that she's one of the best basketball coaches on the women's side that we've ever seen, but there are some shortcomings to the way she does things. Now, I mean, there have been things written in the Brian Kelly, Nick Saban. There have been shortcomings and incidents that they've run into in their career. Some of the best coaches are obviously off the field, not the best people in the world. And this is really not a escape from the norm to me in regards to what they were saying, what was said in this piece by Kent Babb about Kim Mulkey.
It was hyped up too much, but a lot of it was because of Kim Mulkey's press conference and her trying to go after the reporter and the Washington Post as, you know, as a company because she's going to hire defamation lawyers. I can't help but think, like, I can't lie, the thought crossed my mind. What did she think was going to be in it?
I don't know.
Because my opinion, because
if this was it, Kim, or you're
exactly, okay. Exactly. Which, that's why, in my opinion,
you're going the guilty conscience route.
Oh.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There was absolutely some guilty conscience in that presser. I think she thought there must be a few stories out there or an incident that she feared was going to be in this piece that just wasn't. I'm not sure why it wasn't in there, but her preemptive strike against it for it to end up being this just seems like she expected it to be bigger and like something else was going to be in there. So I can't help but ask myself, what did she think it was going to be?
Yeah, I think that's honestly fair. I'm not saying not that exact thought crossed my mind, but when I was reading it, it just didn't seem like anything.
When I got done reading it, I was like, okay.
Can we be honest? Regardless,
like, that wasn't that bad.
If you've been following Kim Mulkey throughout her career, nothing in that story besides the new sort of example of Kelly Griffin.
But we knew it because of Griner.
But there was nothing in that story that I found like, oh, I'm learning something brand new about Kim Mulkey and the way that she approaches the lesbian community and lesbians on her basketball team. There's nothing new about that. I knew this to be the case beforehand, having dealt with, you know, following Brittany Griner and her story. And back in 2013 when ESPN did a profile on Brittany Griner, she talked about these things. So I guess that your guilty conscious thought process isn't that wrong, because maybe that she thought there was something else in there that ultimately wasn't in there.
It but just I didn't feels view, weird again, to go on again, a 3-minute rant and threaten lawyers for this.
Ultimately, not a hit piece, not an expose.
No.
It was truly just a look into, for probably the third or fourth time in her career, a look into Kim Mulkey behind the scenes and how she treats lesbian players.
I can't lie.
And that is not surprising to me.
It was disappointing. I thought it was going to be more inflammatory.
I think it's also disappointing that there's way more examples than just Brittany Griner of her treating lesbian players differently.
She clearly has very outdated thoughts, and that is
not... A lady's supposed to wear a dress.
Right.
Why are you dressing like a boy? Come on. We need to move past
that. Our clothes are comfortable. That's why.
We need to move past that. We just need to move past that. But, I mean, this is who she is. And there's a lot of former players that I'm sure have a lot of laundry that they still need to air about Kim Mulkey. She's a polarizing figure. Again, I don't think this is a hit piece. No type of expose. It was truly just an inside look, as we've seen multiple times in the past, about how she runs her program. And for her to do the preemptive strike, I thought it was completely, you know, it worked against her in a massive way. And then she said she hasn't read it. And then she also said, it's kind of funny, she said she hasn't read it, but then sort of like quoted things within
the article. There is no way in hell she hasn't read it.
But what do you think about, I mean, she said she's hired this defamation law firm. Okay.
I doubt it.
Those billable hours, I'm sure they're happy.
I doubt that's true.
They're happy if you did hire them and they're getting their wages. They're probably happy about it. But I bet they would tell you, after having read this story, there's not a damn thing you can do about it, Kim. This is a former player speaking up against you. And her words are as true as any words you speak. They may be from one side, but that's how these things get written sometimes. But again, I would encourage people to go read it just to see what's in it. But I did not. This was not even near as inflammatory as I thought it was going to be after Kim Mulkey spent 3 minutes at a podium talking
about it. I do think my favorite tweet I saw, though, is just like there was a sports anchor from the Baton Rouge area put out a tweet that said, "You can say what you want about Kim Mulkey. I promise you she doesn't care, and they will keep winning." She definitely cares.
They'll keep winning. That's fine.
They definitely might do that.
Although they do play Iowa tonight, we'll see how that goes.
We don't need to pretend like she doesn't care.
She very clearly
She went on
cares.
A three-minute rant.
And the three-minute rant added to the story?
It absolutely did. It was bigger than the story.
It made the story in a lot of ways, because that's what Kent Babb opened with. And again, the premise of it, this is what Kent Babb wrote in his header, if you will, on the Washington Post site. The LSU coach holds grudges, battles everyone, and keeps winning, but at what cost? It literally fit directly into what he was trying to write. And it's just strange that she took this route. And I think that your thought process, maybe she thought there was going to be more in there. But we'll see what happens with this whole thing. Now, I do have to bring up, because we're only going to have about 30 minutes left in the show once we get to this next break. The Showboats won 1-0, baby. Memphis Showboats 18-12 over the Houston Roughnecks. Gotta love it. Case Cookus, 204 yards and a tug. And then Vinny Papale, fan favorite. It was a good toe tap TD that Case Cookus threw to him at the back of the end zone. Did you watch any of the UFL this weekend?
I did not.
I was going back and forth watching some games. Good product, man. Like not phenomenal. Obviously, it's a spring league, and you know the talent's going to be down as compared to the NFL. We get that. But what they did in merging the USFL and the XFL and putting that talent pool together, I think the product is very decent. It is a solid product that I'll be watching for the rest of the year.
I did see a similar sentiment on social media was about, oh, this product is better than I think people expected.
No, it's kind of funny, though, is the kickoff rules. The XFL used to do the what the NFL is about to go to. But because they're trying to be a feeder league of sorts, they have switched to the NFL's old style. So now the NFL is running their kickoffs, and they're running the old NFL kickoff rules, which completely bucks against what they thought was going to be the case. Strange in itself, but, hey, it is what it is. Now, I always tell you, when you're going to look to sell your home, there's more than one way to do it. You can go through a realty company. You can find your realtor, and they can handle most everything for you. But there's also a process called the FSBO process with Community FSBO. FSBO is for sale by owner. So what Community FSBO will do, they'll give you the tools to make yourself your own boss when it comes to selling your home. And they have three separate packages that let you take advantage of the next-gen FSBO process. You can pick your package, and they handle just about everything up until the very end. They do professional photography for you, interactive 3D walkthrough. They handle floor plans, room measurements, and then, of course, they will handle the listing for you. They will get your home listed. Then you will field offers, you'll get a contract, and you're on your way. And the money savings are unreal. This is just one example, but you could save even more depending on the value of your home. Using a 2,000-square-foot home selling for $350,000 at a 3% realtor listing fee of $10,500, you can save up to $9,800. And again, if that value is higher, you can save even more. If you're looking to sell your home, look into Community FSBO. It's an unreal next-gen process that you are sure to latch onto. Check them out at communityfsbo.com. That's communityfsbo.com. Or call them at 901-660-FSBO. That's 901-660-3722. We'll talk some NCAA tournament, maybe a little Kim Mulkey along the way before we pass you off to the Grizzlies versus the Pistons, but Jeff Calkins will join the show next.
When people have a craving to explore new and traditional Asian cuisines, they head to P.F. Chang's, where scratch-made dishes come from the 2,000-year-old tradition of wok cooking. P.F. Chang's wanted to explore new possibilities for their website. They turned to AmericanEagle.com. AmericanEagle.com re-architected P.F. Chang's website, integrating multiple third-party systems to create a unified digital experience. The results? Improved page speed and performance, personalized content based on users' location, intuitive online ordering, and increase in organic search visibility, and a 40% increase in new users. For scratch-made Asian cuisine, visit your local PF Chang's or go to pfchangs.com for website design, development, digital marketing, and hosting that produce efficiency, revenue, and results. Visit AmericanEagle.com. PF Chang's and AmericanEagle.com, another example of the best businesses in the world. Turning to the best in the business for websites, go to AmericanEagle.com or call 877-WEB-NOW-1. That's 877-WEB-NOW-1.
Mealtime will be a breeze this spring when you shop at Family Dollar. Whether you're shopping for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.